Chapter 3. A Brother's Promise. 13 years of age, Mumbai. So, on that day when Salim and I saw Arman Ali at the cinema, we came back to the chawl afterwards. I remember it well because Salim was so angry. He began pulling down the pictures of Arman that had been all over the walls of our small room for almost 3 years. When Arman Ali was finally in hundreds of pieces on the floor, Salim fell quiet. It was then that I heard voices outside our door, and someone called my name. It was Mr. Ramakrishna, the man who looked after the whole building. I went out into the corridor and saw Mr. Ramakrishna standing with a short, middle-aged man.
"Thomas, this is Mr. Shantaram. He will be staying in the flat next to you. You are a very responsible boy, so please help him and his wife and daughter if they need anything. Okay?"
And he turned and walked away. I tried to look past Mr. Shantaram and into the flat to see his wife and daughter, but I only saw inside for a very short moment. There seemed to be a girl sitting on a bed. She had long, dark hair, and I guessed that she was older than me. Mr. Shantaram saw me trying to look in, and he immediately closed the door.
"What do you do?"
I asked him.
"I'm a scientist, an astronomer, but I'm taking a break from that at the moment, and I'm managing a clothes shop for a while. This room here is only for a short time, of course, while we wait until we can move into our big apartment in Nariman Point."
I knew Mr. Shantaram was lying. People who can afford to live in Nariman Point never stay in chawls. Not even for a short time. The walls of the rooms inside the chawl were very thin. If you put your ear against the wall and listened very carefully, you could hear almost everything that was going on in the next room. I picked up a glass, turned it over, and put it carefully against the wall. When I put my ear to it, I could hear Mr. Shantaram speaking.
"What an awful place this is. Listen, I don't want any street boys coming in here. There are two right next door to us, and they look rough. And, Gudiya, don't speak to any boy in this chawl. If you do, I will take my belt and make you sorry that you did,"
he shouts. I drop the glass in shock. At that time, I was working in a factory, so I was away from the chawl for most of the day. Salim worked long hours too, taking lunches to people around the city. I hardly saw Shantaram, and I never saw his wife or daughter. But one night, I heard Mr. Shantaram teaching his daughter something.
"Gudiya, come and look through the telescope. Can you see the bright red thing in the middle? That's the planet Mars."
For the next 30 minutes, Salim and I used our glasses to listen to Shantaram. We heard about the planets, their names, sizes, and whether they had rings around them. We learned about the stars and their place in the sky. A week later, I heard a new sound. I quickly went to the wall with my glass.
"He's such a sweet little cat," Gudiya was saying. "Thank you for letting me keep him. What shall I call him?"
"It needs to be something that sounds important," I heard her father say. "Maybe we should name him after one of the planets."
"Mars,"
said Gudiya. "But he's the smallest in the family. So he should be called Pluto, after the smallest planet," said her father.
"Yes, Pluto," cried Gudiya.
happily. During the next few weeks, Mr. Shantaram started to come home drunk. I did not need my glass to hear the terrible things he used to shout or the things he threw. I hated hearing these things, but what could I do? Then, one night, Mr. Shantaram threw a very hot cup of tea and it went all over Guria's face. I could hear everything. I quickly ran outside to get a taxi for Mrs. Shantaram to take her daughter to the hospital. 2 days later, Mrs. Shantaram came to me and asked me whether I would go with her to visit Guria. She gets very lonely. Perhaps you can talk to her. So I went on my first ever visit to a hospital. When we arrived, Guria was lying alone on a bed. Her burned face was completely covered. I could only see her black eyes. I was shy to begin with, but we soon began to talk. I learned about her life, and I told her about some of mine. When the time came for me to leave, Guria asked me if I would do something important for her. "Will you look after my cat, Pluto, until I come home?" "Yes, of course," I promised. Suddenly, she reached out and held my hand. "You are the brother I never had." I could see from her eyes that she was smiling. I did not know what to say, so I just sat there, feeling very happy and important. Later that night, I was woken up by a strange noise. It was the sound of a cat crying, but not like I had ever heard before. And then it suddenly stopped. The next morning, I found Pluto's dead body by the bin outside the jaw. The cat's neck had been broken. Later, I heard Shantaram tell his wife that Pluto had run away. I did not say anything. What difference would it have made? Things were quiet for a while. But a week after Guria came home, I heard Mr. Shantaram shouting again. I heard Guria say, "Please don't hit me, Papa. Please don't hit me." And then she cried out in pain several times. I wanted to protect Guria, to save her. Her father was so drunk that, minutes later, he had quickly fallen asleep. There was a small hole near the floor in the corner of our room. I went to it and whispered, "Sister, don't cry." Then I reached my arm through the hole. I felt fingers touching my arm, my elbow, my wrist, and then she held my hand tightly. In that moment, I experienced something amazing. Love, energy, and understanding. We had become one person. I do not know how long I held her hand, but I woke up hours later, lying on the floor. The next night, things were worse. Guria's father shouted louder and hit her harder than before. Again, he fell asleep, and again, I held Guria's hand as she cried. I felt her pain as if it were my own. I made a decision that night. "Guria," I told her, "I will never allow this to happen again, and that is a brother's promise." The next evening, I waited near the stairs for Mr. Shantaram to come home. I watched as he walked slowly up the stairs. I could see that he was very drunk. When he reached the top of the stairs, I ran at him and pushed him as hard as I could. He fell straight down to the ground and landed face down. He did not move. It was only then that I thought about what might happen next. Surely, someone would call the police. I would be arrested and taken to prison. I did not wait another moment. I ran down the stairs as fast as I could and went straight to the train station. I found the train I wanted and jumped inside as it was pulling away. I left Mumbai, I left Guria, I left Salim, and I ran away to the other city I knew, Delhi. I can see that Smita has been upset by what she has heard. There are tears in her eyes. Perhaps because she is a woman, too, she feels deeply for Guria. I move forward in my seat to push the play button. Let's see question number 3, I say. Prem Kumar turns to me and says,
Mr. Thomas, let's see whether you can answer the third question for 5,000 rupees. Are you ready?
Ready, I reply.
Okay. Our next question is from the world of astronomy. Which is the smallest planet in our solar system? Is it A, Pluto, B, Mars, C, Neptune, or D, Mercury?
The answer is A, Pluto, I say.
Are you sure?
Yes. I hear loud drums. The correct answer appears on the screen.
That's correct! Mr. Thomas, you have just won 5,000 rupees!
The audience is clapping loudly, and some people have stood up from their seats.